Morning Valley Bible Church. We are continuing in our study of the book of Ephesians. And so I ask you to turn with me to chapter 5 in Ephesians. We are going to be looking this morning at God's directions to a wife in marriage. But as we read this, I want us to read all the way from verse 22 through 33. When Paul would write a letter to these cities and these churches, when the letter came, they would all gather together and they would read the entire letter at once. And so we, in our expositional manner, will teach through a verse at a time, a passage at a time. And sometimes it's easy for us to lose the argument and the flow of the letter itself. And so as Paul is discussing wives and husbands together, I want us to read that portion. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. If you have your Bibles or some means of Scripture in your hands, I encourage you to stand as we read together God's Word. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22, the Word of God. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And God's people said, Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And let us pray. Father, thank you for your incredible, wonderful design for marriage. We pray that we might be a church family that lives this out in the best way possible, that we might be a beacon and a light to our community and to our world. So, Father, I pray that you would repair that which needs to be repaired, lift up the brokenhearted, encourage and strengthen our hands and our feet that we might live these passages out in the power of your Spirit to your glory as we serve you. And so help us now, Father, to understand but also to live these truths. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen. So we're talking today about wives submitting to their husbands. And my question for you is this a high calling? So what we've titled this is Submission by Wives in Marriage to Their Husbands, a High Calling. You know, when we talk about wives submitting to their husbands, the probably most typical response is quite negative, isn't it? That this is not a good thing, that this is hard, that this is difficult. And yet every time that wives are encouraged to submit to their husbands in the Scriptures, it is never, ever in a negative way. Never. It's always positive. It is always a blessing. When you think about it, a wife submitting to her husband is part of her walk with God. It's part of her devotion to Jesus Christ. It's part of her living out the Christian life. And so it never says in the Scripture anywhere, well, ladies, this is your cross to bear, and you just need to buck up and do it. It never says that. It is honorable to submit, because submission for all of us is an honorable thing. Whatever authority we have over us in life, it is a source of blessing. It is part of righteousness and godliness in a woman's life. And when a woman lives out righteousness and godliness, what ensues? Blessings. God blesses those who walk in dependence upon Him in righteousness. When we were engaged, my lovely wife and I, when we were engaged, by the way, we had a long talk this week about submission, and just because I wanted to get her ideas about this, and we've talked about it before, but I learned some new things in that discussion. And when we were engaged, we went through premarital counseling, and Tara had never heard of submission. She was raised in a liberal liturgical church. It just did not teach through the Bible. And the idea of a woman submitting to her husband was just totally foreign to her, so she had never heard of that idea before. And so it kind of piqued her interest. Both of us were very brand new Christians, and we were learning this stuff very just brand new. And then, not long after being married, we went to a church retreat. And on that retreat, Tara came across several ladies that were older as in having been married for some time, and we were just newlyweds. And these ladies were talking about submitting to their husbands. But they weren't ragging on their husbands. They weren't complaining. They were talking about it in a very positive way. They were talking about how it was difficult at times, but that it was a good thing and that it was God's way. That set the stage for my wife. Early on, having other women who were older than her, who had lived through this, talking about this subject in a very positive way that was a blessing, that was an encouragement to her, and that set the course for our marriage. It was right and it was positive. And she has done that for other women throughout her Christian life as well. Now, before we get into the text, let's just kind of reset the context of what we're talking about. We're back in Ephesians, and remember back before Christmas, before Advent, we were in chapter 5. And chapters 4 through 6, the second part of the book, are about walking in unity. Remember, to walk is how we live our lives, and that word appears over and over in chapters 4 through 6. We're to walk in maturity in chapter 4. We're to walk in holiness in chapter 4. We're to walk in love in chapter 5. We're to walk in light in chapter 5. And we're to walk in wisdom in chapter 5. And part of the wise walk is being filled with the Spirit. Part of being a wise Christian is being filled with the Spirit, not being controlled by alcohol or any other thing in life, but being controlled and being directed and being filled with the righteousness of Christ, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things to God in the name of Christ, and being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Being subject to one another in the fear of Christ because we are serving Christ and we therefore put one another first. In humility, we prefer others, and we recognize that others are more important to ourselves than ourselves. And so he is now going to say, in wives, here is the specific way in which you are to submit, and that is to your husbands. Now remember, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about marriage equality, and we've seen that men and women are created equal. First of all, men and women are created in the image of God. Men and women are created equal by God. Men and women are created different by God. Men and women are created with different roles by God. But sin has distorted God's original design, and redemption allows us to recapture what God has designed. And that's what Ephesians 5 is all about. Living the Christian life, the Holy Spirit filling us with Christ so that we can recapture God's original design for marriage. And this is what it is. The original design for marriage is that the two become one flesh. The husband cares for his wife and loves his wife and leads her, and she gladly follows him, submitting to that leadership that God has placed. So we must always remember that the point of marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. We read that in the text. Marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. It's not the other way around. Christ in the church is not a picture of marriage. Our marriages are to emulate and to model Christ in the church. And as the church submits to Christ, that's the way wives are to their husbands. As Christ lives for and dies for the church, that's how husbands are to live for their wives. You probably noticed, as we read through the text, There are many, many, many more words for the men than there are for the woman. In fact, in the original, there are 40 words that are devoted to the wife. 40. 115 words are devoted to the husband. And I believe that men have the harder call. They have the more difficult command. And I think it is greater in... And even as we read through this morning, you're going to see, men, we are being put on report right away. We are being called to account for our leading of our wives. And we see that even in these three verses, that we have a responsibility, just like Christ had the responsibility for his church, for all of us. Men, we have that responsibility for our wives. So, let's get into the text. We see in verse 22 this call to submission. He says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." You know, over the years, there are all sorts of caricatures and misunderstandings about what it means for a woman to submit to her husband and for a man to have headship over his wife. Sometimes there's this idea that the husband is he's the boss. He's the taskmaster. And the woman is to obey like a child or a slave, and that is not what the Scriptures present. Yet sadly, there are those who have taught that. And some of you were raised that way, men. You were raised that the man is in charge. You were raised wrong. If that's your view, that you are to boss your wife around, that's not what the Scriptures teach. Submission, this word, we've talked about it many times before, is a compound word which means to rank yourself below another, to voluntarily place yourself under the authority of another person, voluntarily. And that's in the grammar in the original. This means that this is something that a wife does willingly. Yes, you can choose not to. Yes, you can choose not to. We can choose to not obey anything that the Scriptures say, but what God wants for the woman is to voluntarily go along with what God says. It should be willingly, it should be joyfully, because it is positive and it's a good thing. Now, we men can understand authority and submitting to authority. How many of you have been in the military? Yeah, you don't understand. There's a chain of command, and there's always someone above you in that chain of command. And someone above you could be a man or a woman, right? And you say, if it's a man, you say, yes, sir. If it's a woman, you say, yes, ma'am. And it's not gender specific. It is the office. In my 23 years in the military, I saw several commanders in chief. I did not respect them all personally. But I followed their orders. And I respected the office and the position that God had granted to them, because indeed God does grant that position of authority in every arena of life. And so we can understand as men what it means to be in the military or in a school. Students submit to their teachers. Teachers submit to the principal. The principal submits to the superintendent. The superintendent to the school board. Bosses and employees. We've all had bosses that we had to do what they tell us to do. And everybody submits to someone. Children submit to their parents. On a soccer team, the soccer players have to submit to the coach. Even the referee on the football field or the basketball court, we have to submit to that authority. So we all understand that. But I have to tell you, a wife submitting to her husband is something I will never experience. And so it's not easy for me to tell you ladies this is what you ought to be doing. But I can clearly give to you what the scriptures say, but I have to say that I can't fully understand it. I can understand what it means to submit to authority, because I've had to, and I still have to, and will all my life. But this is unique, of a wife submitting to her husband. But again, the idea is that she does this willingly, just as Christ willingly submits himself to the Father. But notice in our text, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Ladies, you don't submit to me. I'm not the head of your relationship. This is not talking about women submitting to men in general. It's not saying that, does it? It says, women, you submit to your own husbands. Submission to leaders in the church, by the way, is not even gender specific. Yes, we believe in male leadership at Valley Bible Church because elders are spoken of as men. But we all, it says in several places, that we are all to submit to the leaders of the church, men and women alike. So it's not gender specific. But a woman is to submit to her own husband because God has given to him that leadership. By the way, this idea of submission is repeated numerous places. Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, Titus 2, and 1 Peter 3. So this is not just one isolated verse in the New Testament in Ephesians 5. It is repeated throughout the New Testament. For instance, in Colossians 3:18, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Again, this is grammatically in the middle voice, which means you have a choice, but you are to do so willingly and voluntarily. Be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Titus 2, 3 through 5. Coincidentally, as we talked about Titus 2 ministry this morning, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, and they are to encourage, that means to train in behavior, the young women, and the content of that training is this: to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, Titus 2 is a very important passage, and here are a couple of reasons why. First of all, this is the only place in the New Testament where women are directed to teach in the church. The only other place that it talks about women teaching is a prohibition in 1 Timothy 2. But here is specifically told that older women, mature women, are to teach younger women. And so that's the second important part of this, that this teaching is specific. It's not the Bible per se, or theology, or the minor prophets, but they are to teach or to train in specific behavior or character. Most young women don't struggle with how to defend the Trinity or the structure of the minor prophets or the major prophets or the Pentateuch, but rather the thing that they struggle with is marriage and family and children. And that's where older women can help them. You know what you use to train them? You use the Bible. You teach the Bible. But the goal is this: changing them, changing their character so that they are godly women where the home is the primary responsibility, marriage and family, and learning how to submit to their husbands. And so this is a specific component of being a woman disciple, and women are to teach other women. Now, this is not women teaching women as peers. This is older women, it's generational, teaching younger women. But the most important thing, I think, about this passage is this. The best teachers about submission are other women, not me. Because you know what it's about, ladies. And if you are an older woman, if you are single, doesn't matter. If you are, even if you are divorced or you are never been married, you can still teach the truth. The qualification is that you are godly today. But you have an opportunity and a responsibility given here in Titus 2 to help young women who struggle with this concept to know how it works out. And you're in first place and in the best place to teach them things that I can't relate to. So ladies, do that. And it is happening. But that's a responsibility that you have, even to those who are not yet married. Those who are not yet married, you can teach young women, this is what it's going to look like once you are married. The next passage is 1 Peter 3. It says, in the same way that all of us are called to submit to the authorities that God has established in the previous verses, and how even Jesus did the ultimate example in suffering, you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. It's not negative, is it? It's godliness, it's righteousness, it's chaste, it's respectful, it's behavior where you, a woman, submits to her husband in a way that is beautiful. And if you happen to be married to an unbeliever or a believer who is disobedient to the word of God, he is going to be put to shame by your submission to him. So again, it's important to note that none of these passages in any way portray submission as some negative and bad thing. It is honorable, it is always fulfilling, and it is productive. God blesses it. So when he says, submit to your own husbands, another thing I think it's important to recognize here, that this does not mean single women, I'm going to include you at this point, you do not submit to your boyfriend or your fiance yet. You know why? You're not married. You are not one flesh. We've all seen this go badly, haven't we, with young girls, where there is a young man who practices male domination and who takes this which God has designed for good and perverts it. And a young woman practices the very thing that the Bible doesn't teach, which is she becomes a doormat because she wants to please him. She wants a relationship and she loves him. And she does things that she would not otherwise do because he is controlling her. You do not submit to your boyfriend. You do not submit to your fiance. If you're single, you submit to your father or your boss. Still. And guys, that does not mean you can't begin to lead in a relationship. When you are dating or if you are engaged, you can still begin to lead in that relationship. But it is not, you're not one flesh. You're not the head of that woman. And she does not have a responsibility to submit to you. But you can lead. And when we were first just dating, I don't think we were engaged yet. We were both new believers, and I was just inhaling books and the Bible and learning so much. And we were in Tara's apartment one day, and on her bookshelf, I noticed there were a lot of these, trashy romance novels, right? And I said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for a Christian woman to. I don't think you should be reading those. I don't think it's good for our relationship. And we talked about this the other day, and she said, you know what, you handled that really well. You didn't talk down to me. You didn't control me. You just brought it up as before the Lord, that this is something that is wholesome or this is something that is not wholesome. And it showed her that I was concerned about the direction of her life and her walk with God and the direction of our relationship. And she got rid of him, hasn't missed him since. So we can, as young men, begin to lead, but you are not the head in that relationship. Now, it's important for us to recognize that submission is for all of us. And we see that in addition to wives submitting to their husbands, I think I showed this a couple of weeks ago. Jesus was subject to his parents, citizens subject to government, demons are subject to the disciples. The universe is subject to Christ. The church is subject to Christ. Servants subject to masters. Spiritual beings subject to Christ. Believers subject to God. Believers subject to spiritual leaders. Christ subject to God the Father. So once again, I make the point, this is a good thing. There is authority in the cosmos that God has set up. And by the way, never are any of these ever reversed. Never. Husbands are never called to submit to their wives. The father is never called to submit to Christ. Spiritual leaders are not called to submit to believers. God is not called to submit to believers. Demons, the disciples were not called to submit to demons, and on and on and on it goes. They're never reversed. So you see that submission is something that we are all well acquainted with, and this is the specific responsibility of the Christian wife. Okay, so that's the call to submission, and there's a motivation for this. And the motivation for this submission is a woman's relationship with Christ. Ladies, it's your relationship with Christ that motivates you. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's not because your husband tells you to submit. He's not telling you to. The Lord is. You have a responsibility to do that. Yes, you can choose, but it should be willingly that you do so. And so when wives submit to their husbands, to whom are they submitting? To Christ. Because they're doing what Christ wants them to do. And those who are asked to submit or to obey like children are asked to view that submission to others as their commitment to Christ and their walk with God. By the way, Christ is eternally under the authority of God the Father. Forever, from eternity past to eternity future, there is eternal submission on the part of Jesus to the Father. There is no eternal submission when it comes to marriage. Because, have you ever thought about that? There's no marriage in heaven, so when you get to heaven, submission's over with for the husband and the wife. It ends. We all be submitting to the Lord. So there is no eternal submission because there's no marriage in heaven, except Christ eternally submits to the Father. But your reward in heaven from our Lord will be, He will ask you husbands, us husbands, did you lovingly and graciously sacrifice for your wife? And did you lead her in godliness, looking out for her needs and her desires above your own? Did you do that, husbands? That is the basis by which we will be judged for reward or loss. And to the wife, the Lord will say, did you graciously and humbly submit to the authority I gave your husband to lead you? Did you do that? So there are eternal consequences or significance to how we live this out now, but once we're in heaven, there is no eternal submission. The reason for submission, he goes on further to say, is that the husband is the head of the wife. Verse 23, you have to take it all together. You can't just say, for the husband is the head of the wife, full stop, let's talk about that. Now, wait a minute. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. That's that comparison. Christ is the head of the church, and in the same way, the husband is the head of the wife. He himself being Christ, being the Savior of the body. Remember, we saw this definition about headship from Ray Ortland. Headship in the partnership of two spiritually equal human beings, man and woman, the man bears the primary responsibility to lead the partnership in a God-glorifying direction. That is a very practical definition of the theological idea of headship. And so the reason that the woman submits to her husband is because the husband is the head of the wife. And you cannot separate that first part from the second part of the verse, just as Christ also is the head of the church. The husband is to follow the Lord. And he follows the Lord by loving his wife. And she follows the Lord by submitting to her husband. And so thus they are both going in the same direction and they're going there together. Romans 13:1 says this, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Listen to this. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. You know why the husband is the head of the wife? Because God made it that way. God confers that authority. It's not just because he's a man. It's not just because he is your husband. It's because God has given all, whatever authority exists in this world, it is God-given. It is positional authority. It is delegated from God to others. And so this headship is patterned after Christ because he loves the church and he gave himself for her. Notice at this point, who's he really talking to about? He's talking about the men, isn't he? He says the husband is the head of the wife. Now he's talking to the women, but he's saying, men, are you listening here? Because I'm going to get to you in just a moment, and we're going to talk about what this means. What does headship mean? It's not talking about authority and being in dominion and practicing power. How was this power presented? He is the Savior of the body. He gave himself. He sought the church and he bought her with his very life. And he washes her with the water of the word and he's presenting her. He reconciled us to himself at the cost of his own life. And he equips the church to do what it needs to accomplish his purposes, we saw in chapter 4. And so when he says the husband is the head of the wife, it just is, men. You are. It's not, no, I need to be. No, you are. No, I need to be. No, you are. The question is, what kind of a head are you? Are you a good leader or are you a bad leader? Or just a so-so? You are the head. He doesn't say you need to start being, you need to think about being, you need to espouse to being. He says, no, you are the head. So again, headship comes down to creation and the Trinity. This is the way God made it from the very beginning. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says this, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. That's what the scriptures tell us. So when put in an order of priority, it looks like this. God the Father is the head of Christ. Christ the Son is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, meaning the speaking of the husband and wife. That's just the way it is. God the Father is the head of Christ. Nobody has a problem with that. We get down, Christ is the head of man. Nobody has a problem with that. We get down to the last one, and all of a sudden we got a problem. Why? But God says this is so. Think about Jesus. Think about him submitting to the Father. And I think one of the most supreme examples is Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is praying, and he's praying, Father, is there some other way that we can do this? I don't really want to go through with this suffering. I don't know if he said that, but he said, is there any other way? He knew what was ahead. He knew exactly what he was in for. And then he said, but not my will, but your will be done. If Jesus, the Son of God, would submit to the Father, then every one of us men should submit to Christ, and women should submit to their husbands just because Christ gave us that great example. And God created us that way. So he himself is the Savior of the body, and wives are to submit. Notice again that right up front he's talking about the role of the husband, and the role of the husband is that he is caring for his wife, and she is willing to follow him. When we were young, married, there was an instance where we were just starting off. We didn't have very much money. We come from different backgrounds. I came from a poor family. She came from a family where money was not an object. And one day, Tara went out and bought... made a purchase, came home with this item, and I said, we can't afford that. And it was just, you know, we talked about it, and I said, I think you need to take it back because we can't afford it. And she did. And we talked about this the other day, and I said, you know, maybe I could have handled that better. I don't remember exactly how I said it to you. She said, no, you know, you were right. You were right. We should have discussed it. And ever since then, we always discuss purchases. We always talk about making purchases together. And it was a point in time where we had to learn this is the way it works. We do this thing together. But in this case, she followed my advice and took a bag. It was a little embarrassing, but we both learned from that example. In the model that is given to us, the great model in verse 24 is Christ and the church. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands and everything. Don't we all submit to Christ? We do. And so in the same way, he says, wives ought to submit to their husbands and everything. He returns back to the wife. And we see again that this is honorable. It is godly because he is comparing Christ to the church. That's a fantastic, good, positive thing. And just as the church submits to Christ, so are wives to their husbands willingly, gladly, in everything, he says. Now, this can't mean literally everything, can it? Because you're married to sinners, and some of you might be married to unbelievers, and they might ask you to do something that is not godly. And so there is a limitation here. In fact, John Stott puts it this way: God help the man who thinks his headship is a license for dominance and lordship. Headship has definite limits. It can never command what God forbids or forbid what God commands. In other words, a husband does not have the authority to tell his wife to do something that God forbids. And a husband does not have the authority to stop his wife from doing what God commands. So if there is something that is illegal or immoral or unethical, a woman has the right before God to disobey. Because who does she obey? God rather than man. God is her father. Her husband is not her father. So in everything, when he says in everything, it means in every arena in life, and this elevates marriage because this is positive. This is saying that the husband and the wife, in the larger context, realizes that we are one flesh. And so we share everything in common, and this extends to every area. And in every area, we should live those things out in common together as a team. But men, make it easy for your wives by loving her so that she, and being filled with the Spirit and putting her first, so that she will gladly and lovingly and joyfully follow you as the leader. Now, here are some lessons that I think are important. Number one, submission does not mean that the wife is inferior. Some people think that just with the word itself, it means inferior. We've seen that throughout. Jesus is not inferior to the Father. That would mean that the Son is inferior to the Father, and that's heresy. It would be heresy to say that men are superior to women, or that women are inferior to men. And further, it's wrong because the two shall become one flesh. If you are one, then that means that one is not better than the other, or one is more important than the other, or one is greater than the other, because you are equal and you are one. One has a different role and to lead, and one has another role, the woman, to follow that lead, but one is not of more value than the other, so there's no inferiority here. Second of all, headship does not mean the husband is superior. Control and domination are sinful. And when this happens, it is a distortion of God's design. Men, if you were taught that men are superior to women, again, you were taught wrong. That's just not what the Bible teaches. It's not right. And that would be a heresy. And it would be like saying that Jesus is superior to the Father. He is not. Third, submission does not mean a wife has no voice. Husbands and wives should work together in making decisions because headship does not mean the husband makes decisions. I've seen men who make all the decisions, even controlling what their wife wears. It's wrong. Wives, you have a responsibility to, if your husband is in sin, to say to him, you are in sin. He's your brother in Christ. And you should have the freedom, and you do have the freedom before God to say, honey, you're wrong. My wife says that to me all the time. You have the freedom to do that. That doesn't mean disrespect. That doesn't mean you aren't submitting to him. That means you care and you love him. When we were in, I think, our second church, we had just left our first church and just getting going in this new church. And there was a lady that I had been counseling in the previous church who kept calling me. We were a couple hundred miles apart. This lady kept calling me, and she was taking a lot of time on the phone. And Tara was going, you know, I don't think this is a good idea that you continue talking to this woman on the phone. And the pastor heart that I have was like, you know, yeah, but she needs help. There's no pastor there yet. I need to help her with her problem. She goes, no, I really don't think, Ben, and I got the sense about this, and she does, I don't think this is quite right. I don't think you should do this. And we kind of talked about it back and forth and back and forth. She decided just in herself, I'm going to back off and I'm going to pray about this. And she did. And a couple of days later, I don't know why I got the idea, but I did. And I came to her and I said, you know what? I've been hurting you in this. And I'm going to follow your advice. I've been wrong. And she was willing in this relationship of equals to tell me where I was wrong, and she was right. And that's the way it should work in marriage. We, ladies, you have that, you have God's permission to say to your husband, you're wrong, you're in sin. Who do you need to talk to? Let's get you talking to someone, because what you're doing is clearly wrong. And for the wife of an unbeliever, you know what it's called? Witnessing. It's called evangelism. Yes, you might want to win them without a word, but you can still say to your husband, you know, what is the gospel? You're a sinner. Christ died for your sins. You must believe in Christ. That's the gospel. And so you have every right to point out to your husband in a respectful way, this is sin in your life, and this is the cure for sin, Jesus Christ, and calling him and praying for his salvation. And you might be able to win him without a word, but it doesn't say you can't speak to him in 1 Peter 3. Next, submission does not mean that women put up with abuse. It's against the law, for one thing. And a man is not submitting to God. He's not submitting to the governing authorities. And the authority that God has given to the church may be the answer to this. By coming to leaders of the church, that we might need to step in if there is a man abusing his wife, or the police, the authority that God has given to the police, that might be the answer. But the answer is not, no, you just need to submit. The Bible doesn't say that. Next, submission does not mean conflict. Somehow we've got this idea that submission means that there is, anytime there's an argument, a woman has to give in. Think about it for a minute. The comparison in the text is, just as the church submits to Christ, do you go throughout your life every day going, God, I don't really want to do this, but you told me to obey, so I'm going to do this. I really don't agree with you, God, here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Is that how you live your Christian life, submitting to him? Of course not. You walk through the Christian life every day, gladly submitting to the leadership of Jesus Christ. And submission does not mean conflict. This is your walk with God. It's how we submit joyfully and gladly and follow Christ's leadership in our lives every day. Next, pay attention to this one. Most conflict is over preference and opinion, not truth. Honestly, how often do you oppose your wife, man, over something that is absolutely true? Or wife, how often do you oppose your husband over a truth that is undeniable? Gray is the best color for that wall, and that's a fact. Oftentimes, living the Christian life, husbands loving their wives, wives submitting, is just a matter of putting others' desires before ourselves. Husbands also kind of submitting their desires to their wives. This goes for husbands as well. Let me tell you something, men, no matter how smart you are, no matter how much education you have, no matter how strong you are, how fast you can run, how good you are at work, your wife is better than you at certain things. She completes you. You are better with her than apart. Without her, you are not complete, and you are a fool not to realize that. Let her blossom in the areas in which she's strong. If she's better at finances, give them to her. If she's better at decorating, let her do that. If she's better at purchasing things, let her do that. But don't stifle her because you think you've got to be in charge. Marriage is to be a team of equals working together. That's the way God has designed it. And if a man continually disregards his wife's preferences and opinions, he is personally disregarding her. And he's showing callousness to her and rejecting her role as a helper and not showing dignity as God has designed. And this, I want to call your attention to: opposites attract. Sometimes you have a husband who's outgoing and a woman who's kind of laid back. Sometimes you have a woman who's outgoing and the husband is kind of laid back. You might put it this way: the husband might be assertive and the wife is passive. Or the husband is passive and the wife is assertive. Rarely do I see that they're both passive or they're both assertive. When I was doing my doctorate, I almost wrote my dissertation on this idea, opposites attract, and how this happens in marriage, because I've seen it over and over and over again. But you can see what this causes, right? You can see how this can cause conflict in a marriage when you don't really understand. So here's what I would like you to do. Write these questions down. How would you, talking to one another, say to your spouse, how would you describe my personality type? How are we different? And given our differences, how can we work this thing out called headship and submission? It's so important to understand that you are different people. And oftentimes opposites attract, and when it comes to headship and submission, you need to understand that. It's just being wise. And lastly, the gospel is always the answer. Two becoming one flesh is a picture of the gospel, and we can fulfill God's design only if we live by the Spirit. So all of this is dependent upon living by the Spirit. And oftentimes we get off track thinking, well, you know, we need to talk about what headship means and what submission means. No, we need to talk about what marriage means. What is marriage? Marriage is two people becoming one, and two people walking with the Lord Jesus Christ together, and most of these other problems are resolved. Even people coming to Christ in a marriage, the gospel is the answer. So, this is a good thing. Submission is a joy. It is a high calling. It is positive. It is beneficial. But husbands need to be worthy of following. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. We're grateful, Father, for your word. And we're thankful, Father, for the roles that you've given to us. We know that this is not the easiest thing for us to live out. And yet it is possible because you've given us your Holy Spirit. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so, Father, I pray that every one of us in this room who are married would follow you first. I pray that those who are not married would teach others and would aspire to this. And I pray, Father, that you would be glorified in Valley Bible Church as a place where marriage is held in high esteem, where women are held in high esteem, and where men are godly and sacrifice for their wives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.